gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That doesn't sound good. That sounds like 50.
Now, let me tell you what it is. Number one, Seattle Sexy Liberal Show was incredible. Off the hook.
Number
two,
chain.
Yeah, as the kids say. Number two, I'm entirely too old to be doing this. I can barely walk this morning. Seriously. Did you see me come in here?
Yeah.
All creaky?
Yeah.
The Moore Theater in Seattle, they couldn't put in Mama's, you know, handicap ramp like we normally do, so I can get down and act slutty with the audience. So mm-hmm. I crawled up and down over giant amps both nights, Friday and Saturday, to do my slutty thing. We did birthday spankings to the 50 Cent song in the club. We sang Baby I Was Born This Way with Shelley Wright, who was there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We.
Wow.
Yeah, I did my normal
getting
acting slutty with the audience, which is half my act.
You know, even.
And I'm paying. I've pulled all the muscles in my left leg and my right lower back. I can barely walk.
Even Chevy Chase knew when to give up the pratfalls.
Yeah, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
No.
I'm.
Computer says no.
Thank you, Seattle. We love you, Seattle!
City by the Sound.
Yeah, two sold-out shows. It was incredible. It was really fun, and I'm just... A woman my age can't behave this way. I don't...
I hear the weather was gorgeous all weekend.
Yes, it was awesome. I am a wreck. I am a wreck this morning. All right, I got it. You know what? I'm going to dig through my garbage, find my AARP card, and get myself some sort of motorized
hover round. You need a hover round
to do the show in from now on. I need a way. I need to get handicapped access. I need a scooter. Thank God I have a couple weeks off till L.A. Oh! I think there's only a few tickets left. Saturday sold out. Forget it. Yep. Friday, there's a couple of tickets left, perhaps, for October. What is it? I don't even know. I've turned my paper calendar over yesterday, and it's a horror show. October 21st and 22nd in Los Angeles up next, and then San Francisco, October 28th and 29th. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, kids. Lots going on. We have a lot to talk about. Can I just say that our audience, in person, on the phone, emailing, the smartest, funniest audience in the world. Mike writes, Steph, Chris Christie is just Rush Limbaugh in a fat suit. That's funny. All right. Yes, we discussed the morality of Chris Christie jokes or not on Saturday night. Because that is the big question. Is he going to jump into the race, and how many people will he immediately crush to death with his giant fat ass? Because you have to. What? Listen, we are sexy liberals. We are empathetic. I care. I'm concerned because we were saying that these Republican debates are so mean that I'm afraid he's going to be the fat kid in Lord of the Flies. They're going to kill him with a rock if he gets in. You know what I'm saying? Don't you think?
Could be.
He's going to be Piggy on Lord of the Flies. I'm concerned for him. This does not end well if you've seen Lord of the Flies.
Be Piggy in more than one
way.
They
are a school of piranhas, these Republican candidates. And granted, it would take them a long time to eat Chris Christie, but I'm just saying, I don't know if anyone would call for help. It depends on who the moderator is. If it's Wolf Blitzer, then he's screwed.
Was there cannibalism in Lord of the Flies? I don't think there was cannibalism.
No, that's a different reference entirely. Try to keep up.
That was Donner Party or Alive.
Wolf Blitzer is the moderator.
Chilean soccer team.
I probably should call 911, but I don't want to seem overly partisan or like the liberal media, so we'll have to leave it there. That's a big carcass.
Oh, did you hear Megyn Kelly give the reason why nobody said anything?
When they booed the gay soldier?
Yeah.
Why?
She said, it would be inappropriate for Fox News to step in the middle of, a controversy like that.
Sure, of mindless homophobia. That'd be bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's, you know what? There's only one man to talk about liberal media and such with, and he is Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good
morning.
You know, you and I talk about this every week, and we were talking Saturday night on stage in Seattle at Sexy Liberal about, I said, where are we going with this Republican? Are they just going to be yelling the N-word at President Obama by the time we get to the actual campaign? And sure enough, this weekend the story comes out, Rick Perry had a, what is it, a hunting lodge, something,
yeah.
That had the word N-word head on the...
Yeah.
That's the name of his
hunting camp.
His hunting camp. I mean, Eric, we have not been here yet, have we?
As I read on Twitter this morning, if you're on the defensive about the N-word, isn't that pretty much indication your campaign is over?
pretty much.
Not that it's really come up before in previous national campaigns, but yeah, I mean, this could just be the nail in the coffin, and that's why that's why the Republican Party is begging Chris Christie to get in the race, which I don't think he's going to, and then they're going to realize they're stuck with John McCain Jr. with Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Here's what I love, though. This is where we are with the Republican side, is the bigger controversy this morning is that Rick Perry basically suggested invading Mexico with the American army to fight their drug war, I guess, with or without their asking or requesting, or I don't know. So, yeah, and that's immigration, of course, that's a bigger issue than the fact that he has the N-word on his ranch.
Right, right. You can sort of take your pick on what he's going to defend today. But,
yeah.
If you just take a couple steps back, I mean, this whole GOP process has been so much more sort of beauty contest than anything that resembles a campaign. And so they're not happy with the field. Oh, so-and-so will be our savior. And then, they implode. Oh, so-and-so will be our
savior.
You know,
right.
There's no substance. I mean, it's completely hollow exercise.
And they're already saying, I mean, I think that, it would take Rick, Chris Christie a long time to evaporate. But my point is,
stop it.
He would, if he made a splash, I'm just saying, they're already saying he's too liberal, right? I mean, Herman Cain, among others, have already said, if you really look at his positions on things,
yeah.
Right?
Well, if people had looked at Rick Perry's positions, this might have not had been a bigger surprise. If they had looked at the fact that he had spent the last decade ducking debates in Texas, his performance at the debates might not have been a surprise. But again, this is all just sort of very hollow beauty pageantry and just sort of fantasizing about some superhero that's going to save them. And that fantasy has nothing to do with who these people really are.
Yeah.
And that's why they find themselves. It's funny, the right-wing media, Obama is cooked,
Yeah, he's cooked already.
He cannot win re-election.
We might as well not even vote. Yeah.
If he cannot win re-election, why on earth isn't Chris Christie already in this race?
Yeah.
There's a big gap there.
Well, Eric, so much to get to. We haven't even gotten into right-wing world, but as usual, a great piece by you this week. In the ominously titled report, From Democratic Promoters to Republican Destroyers, Brent Bozell's Media Research Center set out once again to prove how liberally corrupt and biased the mainstream media is. Specifically, they claim on the network morning shows, such as Today Show, the host asks Republican candidates tougher adversarial questions than they did Democratic candidates running 4 years ago. And then they talk about the specific allegation the networks gave little airtime to Republican candidates. How easy was that to disprove?
Right. You just add up the numbers in the report. So their claim was, the press isn't giving, they were doing the morning network shows.
Right.
And they were saying, the press is giving little time to the front runners compared to, the Love Fest the same time in 2007 for the Democratic nominees. Well, if you add up the numbers that Brent Bozell's team came up with, it was virtually identical. But then there was a slight problem. They included Al Gore in that tally, even though in January of 2007, Al Gore made it quite plain he wasn't running. So if you take away him from that candidate tally, the Republicans have gotten a ton more morning show time this year than the Democrats did in 2007. But yes, it's supposed to be a nasty liberal media.
Yeah, well, and speaking of which, another great piece that we talked a lot about in Seattle this weekend is, what if Occupy Wall Street had a cable news sponsor? This is so easily provable, what the over-coverage of the Tea Party and the under-coverage of this, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. People don't really remember, but you have to keep in mind in terms of the Tea Party. I mean, that was a Fox News creation.
Yeah.
I mean, after its sort of first 6 hours of its own.
As you say, sponsored by, practically.
Yeah. Fox News became a turnkey operation, marketing, promotion, advertising, you name it. I mean, you talk to any grassroots organizer, what's the toughest thing to do? It's to get attention. It's to get people to notice. And Fox News did that literally tens of millions of dollars in free promotion. So imagine what Occupy Wall Street would look like if there was a cable news sponsor,
yeah.
if people were broadcasting live every day in front of the crowd,
well,
if they had producers cheering on the crowd,
yeah,
the way
and
Fox
you point,
News did for the
yeah,
Tea Party.
Right, and you point out Keith Olbermann said if the Tea Party activists camped out on Wall Street protesting Ben Bernanke, it would be the lead story every night on every network, correct?
Yeah, I mean, just look at this weekend. You imagine if there was a Tea Party rally that ended in 700, you know, mass arrest of 700 people.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be around-the-clock coverage right
well,
now.
Well, and you make the point that I keep making. If you look at poll after poll, this is not lunatic fringe. This is the majority of Americans believe these same things that they're out there talking about. 47% say Wall Street hurts the nation's economy more than it helps. 70%, the Bloomberg poll you quote, say big bonuses should be banned this year at Wall Street firms that took taxpayer bailouts. 77% of another poll approve of tougher rules for Wall Street. So that's what I mean. It's not like this is just some sort of little, and they cast it. I literally watch, by accident, because I'm traveling, I watch Fox News this weekend, Eric, and of course Hannity covered it. You know, it's almost like a kicker story, like it's laughable, and they find, they find the one, liberal crazy that said, like, oh, who are you going to vote for in this next cycle? And he said Mao Zedong. And so that's the coverage. Like, oh, look at what a bunch of lunatics it is.
And you know what's fascinating is the minute the Tea Party was formulated, the press rushed in to call it a populist movement. I mean, what it really was is was a right-wing reactionary movement. But it was populism. Rick Santelli was a populist. Glenn Beck was a populist. The Tea Party is populist. That is total BS. What's populist and what's populism is Occupy Wall Street. The definition of populism is a struggle against the elite, and that is exactly what Occupy Wall Street is doing. And the press, I did a look, you literally cannot find the word populism or populist in a single report about Occupy Wall Street, and yet they lavish that, you know, very feel-good phrase in terms of the Tea Party movement.
Yeah, no, exactly, and that enables the Fox News of the world, the Sean Hannitys, to to make this look like some sort of laughable lunatic fringe, like, oh, these people are here for Mao. You know, it's like, what? That's one guy that was making a joke. You know that you anyway. Eric Bowler, we chewed up the whole first segment because you're so fascinating.
Yeah.
And now we're gonna have to do speed right wing world when we come back. We'll put it in the wood chipper. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, we were saying that was a little bit of a shock, Chris. It's not every day you actually see the N-word printed out in news stories.
Holy cow.
Because it can't, the name of Rick Perry's hunting camp, N-word head. I was like, wow, printed out, yes. And I'm thinking, probably the breaking news is he's shot way up in Tea Party support.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. The Tea Party, he's got to have been, Michelle Bachmann's got to be history, Eric, am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tea Party support. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Friends. Yeah, I love this. We just killed another major al-Qaeda terrorist over the weekend, Eric, and of course only in right-wing world is this somehow not a good thing when Obama does it.
Would you be in the camp of having rather captured him rather than killed him? We talked to a lieutenant colonel earlier who would have liked to have captured him to try and get more information. But then I brought up the fact that under this administration, it seems that we don't prosecute or ask the same questions that we might have under the Bush administration. So would we get anything out of him anyway if we captured him?
Wow. Wow. This is what they tried to say when we got bin Laden, right? By the way, Bush couldn't ask him anything because he never got him.
Right. Took him 7 years and he came up empty. It's interesting. I mean, there's a legitimate debate about, the killing over the weekend and due process.
Especially since he was an American citizen.
I mean, there was a definite, obvious you know, substantive critique to make, you know,
sure.
from the left. But Fox News just couldn't bring itself to do that, because
right.
So they sort of stumble into this backup position of, gee, maybe we should have captured him. Gosh, Obama doesn't like to capture people. Look, if this had been under the Bush administration, you know, Fox News would have declared a national holiday.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. They sound like, you know, they sound like a left-wing lunatic fringe civil liberties crazies over there, don't they? What's going on at Fox? Yeah, I was reading coverage of this story, Eric, and of course ABC News' Jake Tapper noted the list of senior terrorists killed during the Obama presidency is fairly extensive. NBC noted no president over 20 years has had more foreign policy success happen under his watch than President Obama, yet he's getting almost no credit. I mean, it really is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and there was definitely chatter on Fox and the right-wing media that Obama should have credited Bush for this, of course.
Yes, of course, because never mind. All right, let's move on. Rush Limbaugh on the president.
I tell you, these tax increases in this jobs bill are what he has been having dreams over. Speaking of, it has gotten so bad. They had to send Mouchel out there in a Lady Gaga type getup. Mm. She went shopping at Target.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, where she actually shops and has been known to shop before. But, yeah, did you see this? Michelle Malkin criticizing Michelle Obama as well.
Yeah, it's just fascinating because they were talking about it on Fox News this morning. I literally don't understand the point of the anger and the resentment over this. I mean, it's so clear the right-wing media almost cannot look at Michelle Malkin without breaking out into this hysterical, deep-seated hatred. I mean,
Michelle Obama, you mean?
I'm sorry, Michelle Obama. And there are deep, deep anger issues here that need to be explored. The point is, no First Lady has ever come under this kind of barrage. And
blatant name calling.
I literally don't understand what the controversy is.
You know, Eric, I think we need really have no comment other than Rush Limbaugh makes fat jokes about Michelle Obama. Who is not fat? Michelle Malkin, it's hilarious because, you know, she's been, remember she wore a couple of dresses before that she said, I got them at Target. I mean, she actually likes Target. And so Michelle Malkin attacked her, writing Obama is about as incognito as Lady Gaga. There's that talking point. Malkin went on to call the First Lady the glamour queen and further stated that her Target visit was to counter the negative diva buzz. From Michelle Malkin, I guess.
Right.
And it looks like she left the bling at home, which I think is a little borderline racist, don't you think?
God, the whole stuff, all of it is so offensive. I mean, last week, the 2 weeks ago, the freak out was she had worn borrowed expensive jewelry to a White House dinner. And now last week, the freak out was she was at Target. I mean, it literally doesn't matter. She steps out the door and they just flip out, and create these unhinged attacks that no First Lady ever has been subjected to. I mean, liberal bloggers went after Laura Bush. I'm sorry, I don't remember any of this, and if someone can point to it, I'd be happy to read it.
Yeah.
That stuff was off limits. Nobody cared. They are obsessed with this woman, and I said there are deeper, weird issues at play.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, I know I'm one of those girls that pushes the date longer than it should, but can you hold for just a couple of minutes?
I actually can't. I got to run.
Oh, you can't. All right, honey. Well, I'll finish alone. I'll finish alone in the cold by myself. Don't you worry.
All right.
Love you, Eric. See you next week. All right. We'll finish up our Right Wing World and Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't take this the wrong way. You're beautiful, and I really like you, but you're a teeny bit bananas.
That's why you like me.
Uh-huh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Angie in Tacoma. Was it sexy liberal? Hi, Angie.
I am glad to be able to talk to you this morning. I want to tell you, I saw you this weekend in Seattle, and the show was fan-beeping-tastic.
Fan-beeping-tastic. Thank you, honey. Thank you. We had a riot. We really did. Seattle was a little... Seattle bitches be crazy, don't you think?
We are a bit crazy. And, you know, I took my best friend. That was her birthday present, was to come see you, and she had the best time of her life. But I got to ask you something.
Yes.
Two things. One, How are your hips doing?
There, you know what? I think I made two new hips after the Seattle show. You know, it was climbing over those giant amps. The Moore is a major like music theater, so they
right.
couldn't put in Mama's usual ramp so I can go down and act slutty with the audience. So, yeah, I think you broke me, Seattle, but thanks.
Yay! My second thing was I so wanted to have like a keepsake from the evening, like a Stephanie Miller sweatshirt or a sexy
sure.
double threat shirt, and I didn't see anything.
I threw my slut t-shirt into the audience.
Oh, you didn't keep yourself like Union Trolley shirt?
No, I'll get another one.
Oh,
somebody
fantastic.
Send me another one. See you there. It's done.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you, my best friend and I are planning on buying tickets and commuting down to the Portland show when you guys are there.
Wow.
Awesome. You know what? I got to tell you, Angie, you know we're going to make a fortune on his Steph Head t-shirts because a lot of people said it was their fifth sexy liberal show that came to Seattle Saturday night. I was like, you bitches be crazy. Yeah.
I met women who were sitting next to me who drove up from Eugene, Oregon.
Oy vey. I know. Well, honey, thank you very much. We had a great time. We'll see you. We'll see you in Portland.
I'm going to keep rocking and being your sexy liberal bachelorette.
All right.
And someone mentioned on your Facebook page that apparently the Moore Theater
yeah.
has a performers-only bar underneath the stage, and they want
really?
To know if you found it.
Really?
Yes.
No, we all just cluster. We cluster together in one dressing room.
Oh.
They always ask, do you want your own? I'm like, no, I'm too needy. I just hang out and violate John Fugelsang and his wife's privacy. And
sure.
I'm like, what, really? Do I have to be alone? I don't want to. I want to be with you guys. All right. So, thank you. Oh, yes. Portland is when? It's in January. Some point. Go to sexyliberal.com.
Mama's, yeah, all that
Mama's
info.
Lost control of this train. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I don't know when anything
okay.
is. I do know when this is, though, because it's Monday.
It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Come to Mama. So, I just had Eric Bollard on, and now the opposition on the as you call it, the murder of Anwar al-Awlaki. See, here's where, I guess you and I talked about this, right, Osama bin Laden?
I said that it's one of those times that it's just, let's just back away slowly and just let this one stand.
Okay, well, see, this is where Jim Warden, I get into it, because he was one of the, we should have captured him. It's just that I'm going, don't do the right wing's talking points, you know? Like, everything Obama done is not the right way. And all I'm saying is, you know, I think Eric Bollard also makes a point about the coverage of this stuff, even on Fox News. I mean, can you imagine if this were a Republican administration? The fact is, he has been more affected in the war on terror by a billionfold than the Bush administration was. And but I get your points. Go ahead.
Well, no, my point is either you believe in a certain way in which the laws should be carried out, or you make allowances in ways that sometimes seem at odds with those beliefs. And to me, the principle is more important than killing somebody who's never even been charged with a crime in the United States. And, I mean, you know, people can say, well, he was a traitor. Well, okay, then charge him with that.
Yeah.
And try him.
No, I agree with you. This is more obviously complicated than Osama bin Laden. I mean, I have no problem. I wouldn't, like I say, if you're one of those Navy SEALs and you're going to go in there, really, you're going to risk, like, not getting killed yourself rather than taking out Osama bin Laden. But I get what you're saying, that it gets more complicated on this
one. This was a drone attack. This was essentially an execution without a trial, and I have a problem with it mainly because that he was an American, and he was an American who, as far as I've looked and looked, all that he's done mostly is inspire and speak.
He's never actually killed anybody.
Yeah. I think it's really troubling. I mean, you know, you could make a case that, you know, that Osama bin Laden was planned operations that led to mass deaths, and it's sort of like taking out a general. But when you do something like this, where essentially
just,
you're You're punishing. Right. You're punishing without trial, without charge. Somebody.
I guess the problem for me, Ruud, is as you know, they just in the right. I mean, the president cannot do anything right, and so I'm just saying, if this had been Bush, it would have been a 24/7 tribute to our great commander in chief on Fox News. You know.
Yes, but if it hadn't been Bush, also the left would have been really upset,
and I think
would have also come out much more strongly against Bush using drones for just. Attacks in places where we're not that are not a battlefield.
Let's turn to something we can agree on, and that is Chris Christie's fat jokes. Because you scamp, you said you chose a picture of him sitting next to Nancy Reagan on purpose. So Oliver Hardy over her emaciated Stan Laurel because it obviates the need to make any fat jokes. See, you're a scamp.
Yeah, I like to think about Christie going back to his hotel after the speech and taking off his shirt and finding Nancy Reagan under his mantle and having to peel her off.
Yeah. I hate that. Don't you hate when you get Nancy Reagan trapped under your man boob?
When they stood together, they looked like the number 10.
10. Right. Well, that's what I said Obama and Christie look like.
Exactly.
That's what they'll look like if he's the nominee and they debate. It's hilarious. It's, you know, the president will do his little, you know, sprint up the stage that he does, and then they'll, you know, they'll drop Christie by the, you know, the helicopter from Dumbo drop.
Yeah.
We'll just, you know.
I just want to know if it's possible to make jokes about Christie without making fat jokes. I've really tried.
I don't think so. We got into this whole debate Saturday in Seattle because there was a story about will we elect a fat president. There was a black woman at the VIP meet and greet. She said we'll never elect a black or a fat president. We hate fat people more than we hate black people. And I'm like, I don't know.
I can't remember the last fat president, actually.
Taft. But it was before, you know.
Before
TV. I mean, people will
TV.
Say Clinton, but Clinton was just chubby. Clinton
right. Yeah, he wasn't obese like Christie.
Yeah, no, he's morbidly obese. I mean, and I think there is a health issue.
And there's also the people say that, you know, Chris Christie will appeal to obese America because, you know, we are a bunch of fat F's out here.
Yeah, right. It's true.
But I actually think the reverse. I think that fat people will know, oh, I know all the health things he's going to. I know that every morning when he gets out of bed, it hurts. I know that, you know, that walking up to the dais is going to make him sweat and wheeze.
But this article was interesting because, you know, of course, one person was saying, oh, it's going to work for him because it's like flipping off the nanny state with their endless government intrusion. You know, like, you know, trying to tell you probably shouldn't eat 17 Big Macs in a row and take a taxpayer helicopter to your son's baseball game, right?
Right. Well, you could say the reverse, that in a land where, you know, where there's mass unemployment and people living in under the poverty line, that seeing, you know, Diamond Jim Brady up there, the rich fat guy, is going to turn people off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the other issue was interesting. They said it could work for a guy, but I think there is some sexism in that. They said, can you imagine if Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann gained that kind of weight? They're done, right?
Oh, no. Tony Soprano gets to be married to Edie Falco.
Yes.
You know?
Because then they're the male version of Bluto in Animal House. Fat and stupid is no way to go through life.
Life, son. Yeah.
Exactly.
You talk about his speech, Christie's speech at the library. They call it, of course, it was covered as electrifying, and you say, if by that you mean a boring series of typical conservative bull that almost non-Rick Scott GOP governor could give, and if by partisan you mean he ragged on Obama and bragged about how he lied and bullied state Democratic leaders to agree to his hostage demands. I mean, that, and yet, they're already saying, Herman Cain among others, he's too liberal.
Oh, yeah, he's too liberal honestly, the only reason is because he's not crazy. All the rest of them are crazy, and except for, I guess, for John Huntsman on global warming, because Christie has stated unequivocally that he believes in global warming and that it's human made. He's also said that the Sharia law thing is nonsense, and stood up for a Muslim judge that he appointed, and essentially called the people that believe in this stuff the crazies.
The crazies, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's going to come back to haunt him if he runs.
Yeah.
I don't think he's running. I'll just say flat out, I don't think he's running. I think he's waiting until 2016 and when Obama's out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the other, by the way, it's just, again, it's interesting the way the media covers these. So they've covered him as, you know, the darling and bold and fresh and courageous. And, you know, like I say, it seems like one candidate after another, though, is imploding on that mm-hmm. side. And, you know, I thought it, just a parallel point in your piece is about the Occupy Wall Street stuff. The same thing Eric Bowler and I were talking about, but just the way media covers things. You and I remember how many hundreds of thousands of people were at the Iraq War protest, didn't cover them.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy amount.
Tea Party, there's, you know, 16 idiots, and the media's all over it. Tell us about Occupy Wall Street.
Well, I went down there. I've been down there once so far. I'm going to go back there this week. It's actually the most surprising thing, and the thing that you keep seeing in reports is it's really well organized down there. And there are people that are down there supporting each other. They've organized themselves. They have a media area. They have a food area. They have medics down there with red crosses on their arms. They know what they're doing. And I think that the civil disobedience this past weekend was kind of brilliant.
On the Brooklyn Bridge, you're talking about?
On the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I said in the blog, a real protest doesn't get a license from the government to do it.
Right. And Rude, you make, you know, a brilliant point to close it out that you say, you know, one, of course, Christie's of the Republican donors is more important, according to the mainstream press. What matters exponentially less than even the overwrought inaction of a single conservative is, you know, this huge movement, where, as Eric Bowler and I were saying, huge majorities of the American people agree with the issues they're talking about, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're starting to hear people use the terminology and say, yeah, you know what, I am the 99%. The 99% of people that aren't the 1% who own the vast amounts of our economy. And so one of the things that a protest movement has to do in order to be successful is to actually make the powers that be feel threatened. And the Brooklyn Bridge action was brilliant in that way, because it not only brought awareness and I think brought a great deal of sympathy, but it was also demonstrated that they can provoke the police into an action that automatically brings more attention. It sort of works as a kind of snowball effect.
Yep, absolutely. Great stuff this week, Rude, and always a pleasant disagreement, and then we have make-up sex at the end of the year.
And you know what? That's the best part.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's kind of a little bit of angry hate sex, but, you know.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
You know you like it.
You know what? That's followed up with the tender, warm caresses at the end.
That's right. That's right. All right, Papa. Mama, we'll see you next week. Thank you, baby. RudePundit.blogspot.com. Thank you.
And there you can find out information about his book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac.
Awesome. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, good to be back in the sun in L.A. Love Seattle. It was beautiful. The weather's a little temperamental. A little menopausal. A little cranky.
Yeah.
Beautiful on Friday. A little cloudy on Saturday. A little spritzy.
A little spritzy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, all right.
I made a tour director roll in by a Seattle windbreaker. When I made him do a baton death march up the oceanfront for 2 hours.
Oh.
You know.
Did you go to the public market? See the flying fish?
Uh-huh.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Did you go to the original Starbucks right across the street from there?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Really? I didn't see any coffee places there, are there?
Talking about the original, it's like historic and stuff.
Hey, guess what? We got a new sponsor, Quicken Loans.
Yes.
We love you, Quicken. Quicken Loans is proud to be the title sponsor of the inaugural 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic College Basketball Game featuring Michigan State University Spartans, North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Woohoo! One lucky winner wins a flyaway trip to the Carrier Classic basketball game. Just go to StephanieMiller.com to enter. Quicken Loans, engineer to amaze.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Carl in Nashville on Rick Perry's. He has some PR situations this weekend. Hello, Carl. Hello, Carl. Oh, Carl. Aww. Carl, I think he was going to make the same point I am, that his the racist stuff will just make his poll numbers skyrocket on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
How about this part, though? In case you missed this one, he said on Saturday he would get the U.S. military involved in Mexico's war with drug cartels. I love this.
God.
In comments likely to upset the Mexican government. You think? You think invading a country that didn't ask us to settle their drug war? Yeah, I don't know. Could be. Barry in New York on Occupy Wall Street. Hey, Bear.
Good morning, Mama.
Hi, baby.
I was down at Liberty Plaza yesterday, and I've been meaning to get down there, and I finally get down there, and it's pretty amazing. These people are really serious about what they want to do.
Yeah.
And you know, you can say they're disorganized, you can say all kinds of things about them, but they're really sincere, and they know what's on the line, and it's their future. I'm 64 years old, and I went through all the stuff with demonstrating against the Vietnam War and for civil rights at that time, and this reminds me of the feel of what that was at its infancy.
Right.
And it's really important.
Well, Barry, you use the key word. It's real. It is not, you know, brought to you by Fox News. It is not like, you know, what do you call it, AstroTurf. You know, funded by Dick and his army, you know. You know what I'm saying?
These people have been camping out there. This is not easy to do. This takes dedication. This isn't like getting to a demonstration where people make the signs for you and just make fun of Obama for the fact that you hate that he's black.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. Let's go to Victor in Miami on Chris Christie real quick, and then we'll finish up Right Wing World. Hi, Victor.
Hey. Hi, Steph.
Hey, hi,
listen, I was hoping one day I'd get you guys on, go to your show. You guys are in Fort Lauderdale in December, right?
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale in December. Can't wait.
I'm going to have to break in that place and kind of hang out. Anyway,
December 10th.
Hey, everybody, say hi to the Moose on me, too. Those guys are awesome.
Hey there.
Hey, hi, Moose.
Hey, Victor, how you doing?
I love you, man. I love you. You got to do that Queen. You should do Queen Elizabeth talking about Rick Perry's niggerhead.
Boy. All right. Oh, gosh. You can't actually say the N-word.
No.
Okay. Thanks for that, though. Appreciate it. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's the name of his hunting camp, Rick Perry. It's head. But you can't,
N-word
can't
head.
Say the whole. But news stories have to print it out because otherwise you wouldn't know what they mean. So you're reading stories going, oh,
you know
wow,
what? If you replace the two G's with a couple of asterisks, I think people would know.
Yeah, I was actually surprised they printed it out. But I guess, all right then. Okay. As we know the rules here in the sexy liberal kingdom. Only Aisha Tyler gets to drop the N-word at a sexy liberal show, as she did in Santa Fe.
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. She most certainly
did. Indeed. Oh, my God. Someone made the most amazing, because you know so many artists up in Seattle?
Yes.
Someone made the most amazing picture drawing of Aisha, you know, on the operating table, boogity boogity cheese. We will give it. She'll be in tomorrow for Tuesdays with Tyler. We'll give it to her. All right. Chris Wallace to Herman Cain.
I started singing Hail to the Chief.
Right.
And you said to me, if I become president, or I think you said when I become president,
right,
we're going to have a much hipper song.
What's
the problem with Hail to the Chief?
I think Hail to the Chief needs a little bit fresher sound.
So, hip-hop?
It won't be hip-hop. I might put some gospel beats into the Hail to the Chief, okay?
Well, because he's black, Chris Wallace assumed that it was going to be hip-hop?
You can have hip-hop barbecues like President Obama?
Oh,
wow.
That's...
Yikes. Okay.
Oh.
Wow.
Even though he's Republican, I cringed at that.
Yeah, that was so cringeworthy. Okay, Eric Bowling and John Stossel on Fox Business.
Would you be for getting rid of the FDA, all these controls on food products?
Yes. If the supermarket is carrying cantaloupes that are more likely to contain listeria, if you have a free market, word about that gets out. And if get rid of this misdirect that people think, oh, the government's protecting me, then soon you get magazines saying Safeway is cleaner than this supermarket, and the market guides it far better than government ever would.
Where do you even start with that? It'll regulate itself. It's not like thousands and thousands of people die of foodborne illnesses every year, and it costs the American taxpayer billions of dollars. It's not like, it'll just police itself.
The FDA conducts inspections in order to catch things like this before they become major epidemics. What John Stossel is suggesting is that we need a major epidemic, and then the word will get out, and then you'll stop.
Sure. We got to lose a few. We got to thin the herd a little bit.
Wow.
Okay. Michelle Malkin, real quick. Here we go.
Look, I mean, at the same time that Obama's going around complaining that he's the victim and that it's the Republican Party that are the thugs, this is the guy who's shaking around his brass knuckles every time somebody criticizes him.
Mm. Brass knuckles.
Yeah, I saw those. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Gosh, right-wing world has bled over like the blob into hour number two. We have a fabulous Andrew Breitbart.
Oh, wait till you hear this.
And then we shall move on. 58 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. How many times have you said something to me that then I just said back to you, and you're like, I just said that?
It was twice in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, my brain feels like a bunch of, like, wet towels. That's what's happening. Great weekend in Seattle. I really, there's no way for a woman of my advanced years to behave. I think I need 2 new hips, seriously. I climbed up and down over amps, and also we did a group spanking to a birthday spanking to 50 Cent in the club. Yeah.
Did Shelley Wright sing along with that, too?
No, Shelley, we just sang, Baby, I Was Born This Way.
Okay.
That was, thank you, Seattle. I love you. Yeah, I don't do the social media, but Roland sent me the Stephanie Miller, the Sexy Liberal Facebook,
because
it was just so nice. It was, Karen, my face hurts from laughing so much. A lot of face-hurting reports. Thank you for a fabulous time from Teresa. Michael, I laughed, I cried, it was better than Cats. Now there's something.
Yeah.
There's one picture that looks like I'm singing Memory from Cats.
Yes.
Because I am Grisabella, damn it.
I think that's the one you sent me, and I posted it up on your Facebook page.
No? I didn't. This is a different one.
Oh.
Hugo saying, you know, the straight Robert Mapplethorpe took his usual procto and gyno shots.
Right.
I don't know how he gets those angles. I think he was under the stage, seriously.
Wow. All right.
Marsha writes, Mama, thank you and your buds. It was an inspiring and hope-filled night. Aww. Yeah, I think it really was. Can I give me some love music? It is becoming this. I don't know what. It's certainly not me. For God's sakes, I am really marginally talented, as you know. It's a movement. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I swear to God, people had been 5 times. They'd been to Chicago, Detroit. By the way, I think originally thought Chicago was the best show. Then maybe Boston. Then we then thought Santa Fe, but I think Seattle Saturday night was our best show. So we would like to apologize to Boston and Chicago and Santa Fe for the sucky shows. I think we got this now. Now we're getting the hang of it. So
so those previous cities got inferior shows.
Yeah, we apologize for that.
Which is why you're coming back to some of those
cities.
Yes,
when we come back, we'll have it down. Yeah, L.A. is up next. Yep. That's going to be a little bit off the chain. Is that what we're using today?
Yes, that's
right,
what the kids
one,
are using.
I just love this one. The folks I get to meet at the meet and greets, Maura says, Steph... we met at the meet and greet afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to explain to you further why I gave you photos of my son, Evan, parachuting for the first time. When Evan wrote you last May, he wanted to thank you for making every day a positive day for him living and working in Dallas. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
With your humor, positive, smart show. Smart? All right.
No.
We'll Evan embraces every day to the fullest. As a paraplegic, he has his challenges, but I, for one, have never known anyone like Evan before. You inspire him, and I hope he inspires you. Okay, don't make me cry.
Oh, my God.
Keep up the good work passing the liberal gospel. Say hi to Evan for me at the Austin event. Evan's coming to Austin.
Sweet.
Sexy liberal. It's just like a whole community. It's making Mama cry.
Maybe he can find some sexy liberal strange.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Let's see. Oh, Michael, he'd be one of the crazy Seattle biatches that brought up in the third. They opened the third, second balcony somewhere.
That was way high up. I saw pictures of that.
Yeah, it was. That was crazy.
Holy cow.
Dear Steph and the gang, Denise and I, my wife, were at the Friday night Seattle show. It was superb. We were in the second balcony, which I never even knew existed. You were all like ants down there. Fortunately, I didn't bring my binoculars. My wife, Denise, held onto the binoculars through most of Hal's set. Yeah, because... You know, John is pretty, too. Yeah, it's the two prettiest men in the universe. Denise's slutty eyes just glued to the net. Because Hal Sparks wears paint on pants, which is not fair. He's already incredibly handsome and charming. And then he just, you can see what religion he is. And it's just, it's a whole thing. And you were stunning as well in your slut shirt. Thank you. So was that a South Lake Union trolley shirt or the South Lake Union trollop on that shirt? I was the South Lake Union trollop. It is my favorite show when you're able to open the show by saying, who wants to ride the slot tonight? Come on. Come on.
Well, hi, Jim.
Hello. Jim Ward. How are you?
I left my card key back in the car, and I had to run back and get it, which is always fun.
Our very heavy security here at the big radio building.
Yeah.
Even Jim can't get in.
No, I work here, really.
I swear to God. Oh, speaking of sexy liberal strange, somebody needs a Steph-a-date for L.A. October 22nd.
Oh.
That was sold out months ago. This is going to be a hot ticket. It's the Saturday night show. This is from Meredith. Steph, I bought an extra VIP ticket for Saturday, October 22nd, Sexy Liberal Show, and the first day tickets went on sale. I want to give the extra ticket to another diehard Steph fan. Can you please announce this email address? She wants me to, interested parties respond. Thank you, a diehard Steph fan. She set up an email just for this.
Okay.
Steph with me at gmail.com. So whoever wants to Steph with her on October 22nd.
Steph with me at gmail.com.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. All right. And then...
you might get a Steph infection.
Yeah, well, listen. Shush, those of you up in Seattle. And what happened up there.
Yeah. Okay. Take your penicillin and shut up.
Yeah, just shush. Mary, the official Willamette Valley Master Gardener of the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph, the moment I heard on the podcast about the Sex Liberal Show in Portland, Oregon, I fought with an electronic voice for 45 minutes to secure 4 tickets for me, my husband, and 2 friends who are positively drenched in gay. both of whom are single. Heads up, all you Northwest Bears out there. We'll be driving 2 hours in January sleet to start our New Year's right. Here's my concern. I haven't heard you mention the Oregon show since. Is it still on? Are the tickets on top of my refrigerator still valid, or was it all a dream? P.S. Important tip. The sure way to turn a crowd of happy, clappy Oregon liberals into a snarling, angry mob is to mispronounce Oregon during the show.
Yeah, don't say Oregon.
Oregon. Oregon. Oregon. Yes, we're coming to Oregon tonight.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Yeah. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing a trail to Portland, Oregon.
Will Portland, Oregon in...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is
Oregon.
Beaver, baby, cherry,
beaver, cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Mm, better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
Just don't call it Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, right. It's love and sex and magic. That's what it is, that show. Did you see Shelley Wright was at the big show Saturday night? Aretha Franklin was at the Detroit show. Yep. I wonder who will be at the LA show. We've heard quite a few rumors.
I've heard that some stars live here in Hollywood.
That's what I'm heard. That's what I'm told. Mary in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mayor.
Hey, Mom. I'm still recovering from Saturday.
Oh, you and me both.
So much fun.
Thank you, honey.
Oh, God. I mean, first of all, John and his Chris Matthews bit, and then Hal with his Kentucky thing.
Yes.
We were wetting our pants. Then you come out, and that fake drunk act of yours.
Yes.
Isn't
that something? I'm the Foster Brooks of my generation.
It was.
I don't know how
so
fake it is, though.
We had a ball. We want you to come back soon.
We will come back. Mary, thanks so much. It was a blast. All right.
Alrighty.
Do you have a spare hip for me? I need a replacement.
No, mine are too old.
All right, fine. Yeah, there was giant amps, Jim. What do you call it? What's that? You know, it's like rock scrambling was what I was doing Saturday night, back and forth over amps. Like an idiot.
Okay.
I don't know. All right, Kenny in...
sounds like a Kiss concert.
Yeah.
Kenny in Los Angeles on the Alawaki, as Tom Brokaw would say.
That's
the Alawaki killing.
That's exactly how I pronounce it.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
I just wanted to say that, the guy is basically playing for another team. Anytime a United States citizen decides that they want to take it upon themselves to become engulfed in another country's culture and become part of that other country, they take on, you know, part of what the other country is taking on. There's a war raging, whether we agree with it or not, no matter how, you know, ridiculous the war is, it's going on. This president is in a war. This guy...
Well, he's fighting it a lot more effectively than George Bush did, I'll tell you that much.
I really believe so. But this guy basically committed... He's committing treason. And well, technically, the punishment for treason is death.
But after a trial, though.
Yeah. There has to be a trial in order to say, in order to convict you of treason.
I think there is a difference between this and Bin Laden. Do you not, Kenny?
Yes. Yes, there's a big difference. A big difference. But, I mean, just because the guy's not successful doesn't mean that he's not trying his best. I mean, given the chance, I think that the guy would have done whatever he could have.
So he looked guilty, we should have killed him.
Yeah, I mean, he would have done it. You know?
He didn't look guilty. He was guilty. Thank you, Kenny. Tony in L.A. with the same thought. Hey, Tony.
Hey, sweet mama. How you
doing? Hello, baby.
Don't fall in love with Seattle. You belong to us.
I know, baby. I was just cheating a little bit. You know you want me. You know when I come home with my tail between my legs.
Now, anybody, any progressive Democrats, let me tell you something. If you find yourself agreeing with Gretchen Carlson, you need to check your junk at the door, okay?
Yeah,
this
right.
Guy, come on, people. That's the sexy liberal metric rule of the day.
There you go.
If you're agreeing with Rush flipping Limbaugh, you need to check your stuff.
Something
now.
You've taken a wrong turn somewhere. All right, Tony. By the way, our good friend Andrew Breitbart, who I believe every member of the Sexy Liberal team has now gotten into a Twitter fight with.
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't because I don't tweet.
Oh, I have.
You have.
Yeah, he called
Tom Dugelsang has.
He called me a hater.
Aisha has. Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Although we may have had a fight with him on the phone that one time.
We're pretty sure the right, quote-unquote, right-wing caller was Andrew Breitbart. Yeah. Okay. This was, I don't know where, he was speaking to a Tea Party event.
Yes.
He had some thoughts on Nancy Pelosi.
He had thoughts?
2010, after an unprecedented attack that included the false allegation that the Tea Party hurled the N-word 15 times by 15 people.
Okay.
It didn't happen. They lied.
Yeah,
they
it was only 14 times.
That lie. It was orchestrated by a bitch by the name of Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, bitch! Ha! Ah, yeah! Killer! Ha! Ah.
Wow, he went on to call Janine Garofalo Hollywood sympathy. Really? I think a lot of people think she's quite a talented actress.
He just kind of negated his entire argument there by throwing around the bitch word and the sympathy.
Yeah, and first of all,
F word.
It was well documented that people screamed the N word. You could see a video of them spitting on a black congressman. Mm-hmm. It's like, give me a break. So what they accuse the black congress people of lying.
Right.
That's what they're. Yep. Yeah, because it's not actual. There's not actual audio.
Blame the victim.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do.
Oh, boy. He explains that as a longtime Hollywood resident, he knows Janine Garofalo is Hollywood's pity who gets called upon to play the role of loser in movies when casting people feel sorry for her. Oh, yeah. Hollywood casting people notoriously.
She was very famously in 24, which is, you know, headed up by a famous right-winger in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's a great actress.
Yes,
all right.
She is.
All right. Thank
and
you,
what
Andrew.
What does Breitbart
Breitbart
do exactly?
I don't know.
Where is he?
No. Okay, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Baby, you got the bomb on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. David in New York on Occupy Wall Street. Hi, Dave.
Hi, this is your official pedicab driver of New York City.
Oh, thank you. All right, then.
You're welcome. Well, people haven't been catching the story that this is going to morph into a full-fledged labor movement.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening more and more, unions are joining up.
Right.
And everybody talks about a focused mission. I really want to get on this thing with Randy Rhodes, get the money out. Work in the Twitterverse. Everybody can get behind that one simple message, get the money out, public-funded elections. This could be a real movement, could actually change the United States.
David,
really
look at the percentage of people that were against this Citizens United decision. You know, I mean, this is not some fringe movement. This is the majority of Americans believe in what they're fighting for. All right. You know, Jim, you were asking me why I'm so creaky, and because I was telling you, I was climbing up and down over amps on stage and off in Seattle. And so, I can barely walk.
You need
this morning.
Big amplifiers for the sexy little room?
Apparently.
You
I don't
can't
know,
just shout.
Four giant amps. I don't know.
Maybe a pal's plugging in, you know, doing his heavy metal thing.
I'm not feeling as bad as this guy. French man gets electric shock while shooting softcore porn on top of a freight train.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
See, don't
that's
you? Really, I hate when that happens.
Headline
that
you see every day.
No.
Wow.
No, that is not a good... by the way, just let that be a lesson to you, kid. Do not shoot your porn on top of a freight train.
On top
train.
Of an electric train.
That's just irresponsible.
No, if it's... coal-fired, sure, fine.
Sure, yeah.
You won't be able to breathe.
Smoked out.
You won't
who
get electric
knew that would be at all dangerous? I don't... Okay.
Wow, that's a niche market. Porn on top of a train.
Of a freight train, yeah.
Seems like a good idea at the time.
That's a fact.
Lots of things that seem like a good idea.
Hitchcock remake, Strangers on a Train.
Or it sounds like a...
Literally on a train.
It's not Strangers anymore, after they're done shooting the porn.
It sounds like a scene from Risky Business, actually.
All right, Carl and... except on top of the train, not in the train. Okay.
Not in the choo-choo.
It's not a Hitchcock movie. What am I thinking? Strangers on...
I bet the egg got stolen at the end.
The crystal egg?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There is a crack inside this egg. I am very disappointed.
Carl in Nashville. Hi, Carl.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Well, I tell you what, this Rick Perry with the N-word head, I applaud CNN because they actually said the word. And I think that we need to not be afraid to say the word, because when we say N-word, we sanitize it a little
well,
bit.
Well, Aisha certainly isn't.
And if you,
that's the rule. If you're black, you can use it. If you're not, you can't.
Right. Well, if you say the word, then that would give it the strength behind it. That under ordinary circumstances, his candidacy for president of the United States would be over this morning. Mm-hmm. But the odd thing about it, this will probably make him even more popular.
Thank you.
With the tea baggers.
With the base. That's what I
really
said, Carl.
I really believe that this will prove the point what we're saying, because you know for a fact we see candidacies going to flames for lesser. Mm-hmm. You can't be associated with something like, remember the Reverend Wright thing?
Yeah.
How much they still try and dig that dead horse up and shock it to bring it alive. Pun intended, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
Bring that dead horse back
yes.
to life.
Because as you remember, the president was a Muslim with the wrong kind of Christian preacher. All right, and this is hilarious. We got a New York Times. I mean, Mitt Romney is just pathetic. But guess what he did a lot of when he was governor, Jim? He closed tax loopholes.
What?
Corporate tax loopholes.
What a bastard.
So we can get more tax revenue. I mean, the one, and that's the thing he has to run away from. The good, any good thing he did, including Obamacare or Romneycare.
It all began on a lonely road in Massachusetts.
Oh darn!
What is it, Mitt?
We've run out of gas.
Really?
Yes. Come here.
Mitt, let the dogs out.
Woof woof.
Wait, let me change the station.
Radio stations are people, my friend.
Take a look at what Mitt did.
What's
from the
this?
Standpoint of Romneycare.
No.
Romneycare.
No.
Romneycare.
Not again.
Romneycare.
No.
Romneycare.
No.
Romneycare.
No.
Romneycare.
It was the thing
Romneycare.
That wouldn't die.
Romneycare. Romneycare.
Let's get out of here.
Romneycare.
Run away.
Romneycare.
Oh, Mitt.
Doc, we got here as fast as we could, my friend.
Ow.
Is her ankle broken?
No, it's just a couple of bruises. Good thing she's covered with Romneycare.
No.
Romneycare.
No.
No, not again.
The thing that wouldn't die.
Showing this week at the Republic Twin Drive-In. On screen two, it's Mrs. Buckfire.
Hello, my little barbarians. You need a little discipline.
Come to the Republic Twin Drive-In, where everyone is welcome, technically.
Mike and Raleigh did it again. That was awesome. Ah. Oh, boy. Yeah, what's the word I'm looking for? He governed a Democrat in
Oops.
Massachusetts, if you're paying attention. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Of course. That explains her impeccable diction and her sluttiness.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show.
You
put show. The K in diction.
Yeah, thanks. All right, what? Hmm? 34 minutes after the hour. three hours of Tuesdays with Tyler tomorrow. Aisha Tyler returns.
Wow. Yay!
1-800-STEPH-1.
Just hope she doesn't drop any N-bombs.
No.
Although, we should probably have her read that story with Rick Perry's hunting camp name.
That won't be too awkward.
No.
Tracy in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Trace.
Hey, guys. Good morning, and welcome to post-racial America.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where you can name your hunting camp the N-word.
Name your hunting camp, exactly. Mm. I mean, it should come as no shock and no surprise to anybody. It didn't to me. I mean, these guys have been putting it out there. They can't. You know, one thing the election of President Obama has done is shine the light on this stuff.
Well, Tracy, that's what Morgan Freeman just said. He unfortunately, yeah. You know, he said it's made it worse. It's, you know, the racism, which is very sad, right?
It is. It is. And if this is America we want, then go ahead and elect any one of those on that side. Anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying it, you know, as a joke on Friday about, like, these Republican debates are so mean and what are they're just going to finally be yelling the N-word at the president. And I'm like, this weekend story pretty close. Yeah.
Sure did. That about sums it up.
Yeah. We have a front runner on the Republican side who named his, in case you hadn't heard, Rick Perry.
Maybe we should start calling it Race to the Honky House.
Putting the white back in the White House. Something. Yeah. There's some slogans going on over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a new report, the Washington Post reveals that for years, the West Texas hunting camp where Governor Rick Perry hosted friends and lawmakers bore the offensive name N-word head.
I think it was actually called chigger. It's about the little bugs. No,
nothing to do with chiggers.
No? Okay.
Perry and his family.
I was misinformed.
I regret the error. Okay. he and his family first began leasing the property in the early 1980s, but even after he became governor, a report suggests he made no effort to change the name, which was painted in block letters across a rock slab at the entrance to the camp.
It's on a rock slab. We can't change it now.
Yeah, it's in rock.
Sure.
It's written in stone.
Nothing you can do
literally.
That. It's written in stone, like the Ten Commandments.
In Fox News Sunday, Herman Cain criticized Perry for not taking action to change the name of the camp for so many years. He called his complacency against the racist slur insensitive towards black people. Seven people said the block letter name was clearly visible at different points in the 80s and 90s. One remembered seeing it as recently as 2008, a local resident of Paint Creek, Texas, who visited the property with Perry recalled seeing the rock and thinking, this is going to embarrass Rick someday. Thank Governor Perry.
Well, that and his whole campaign, but, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, and right. His debating skills, yeah.
There is a substantial group of scientists out there who are skeptical about incontrovertible statements that global warming is due mainly to man's involvement. Mm. What is true is that our temperatures have gone up and down for millennia.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the issue is this.
There's no connection.
Should America jeopardize its economy with a cap and trade type of legislation base it on science that is still not settled?
That we're still not sure if the world's flat or not.
And that feller said it, and you can tell he's a scientist. It says on his name tag right under ExxonMobil there.
Yeah, yeah. There was an article about in some Texas paper the other day about this now dry lake where they're finding fossils and things. They talked about finding 8,000-year-old dinosaur bones. The dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago.
Oh, is that the lake near Camp Overhead over there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, there may be dinosaur fossils in there, but the implication was that that man and dinosaurs coexisted at some point. No.
All right.
8,000, 65 million, what's the difference? Mm. Math is a liberal bias.
Mm. I think his campaign song should be Everybody Walk the Dinosaur. There's a lot of... So many slogans popping up left and right. All right. Boom shakalaka-laka. Chris Wallace.
Oh, that's not
no,
it.
That, move on. What the
Walking
hell?
Walking on sunshine right next to different. Walk the Dinosaur.
Ah.
You see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Rick Perry trying to put the white back in the White House. Everybody walk the dinosaur. Just saying. Give it the helpful suggestions. Oh, did you see this one over the weekend too, Jim? Rick Perry said on Saturday he would get the U.S. military involved in Mexico's war on drugs.
That's...
Okay.
That's not legal, yikes. Is it?
I don't know.
No, I think we should start bombing. You know, on the off chance you might get some bad fellers.
Now, y'all stand back while another haystack. Do you think he has little pieces of hay, like, stuck in his, you know, crotch at times?
His nards?
He has to pick out with tweezers, or maybe Mrs. Perry does. Darling, get over here with the tweezers. I got some hay stuck in my package from that latest haystack. All right, I don't know. I'm sure. I'm just
haystack
saying.
Had it coming. Just lying there.
Yeah. Lying there asking for it.
You see the way it was dressed?
I don't think they ever did that on Hee Haw. I don't recall.
It was bent over that pinball machine.
At this point, we're just like dancing on the grave of Perry's campaign, but whatever. All right. And as you know, Jim, the big question is, will Chris Christie jump into the race and thereby crush to death everyone else in the race with his giant...
Is that another earthquake? No.
Chris
Christie jumping into the race.
Well, you know, I've expressed concern, but before you got here, I am empathetic as a sexy liberal, and I'm just saying it has a very Lord of the Flies feel to me. With as mean as these Republican debates have become, someone is going to kill him with a rock, and I'm just trying to prevent that from happening.
Yeah. If he had glasses, they would break him.
He's
actually a lot more reasonable than a lot of these.
That's the problem. That's why they're going to kill him with a rock, is what I'm saying. I said they're like a school of piranha, those Republican candidates. And granted, it would take a long, long time to eat Chris Christie. However, I think someone would call for help unless it was Wolf Blitzer. Then he's...
We'll have to leave him there.
Yeah, I don't want to seem partisan in any way or like I'm part of the liberal media.
Or perhaps by not appearing partisan, I am being a partisan.
Until the buzzards come and pick him clean. All right. Okay. Wow. Meanwhile, Herman Cain says Chris Christie's too liberal to be president.
I must tell Jesus.
It's the first time that blank was filled in. Chris Christie is too blank to be president. Liberal. That wasn't the word I was going to think of. Citing his positions on common sense gun laws, civil unions, immigration reform, and global warming, Cain responded, I believe a lot of conservatives, once they know his position on these things, delineated, will not be able to support him. So I think it's absolutely a liability for him.
His positions on those four things alone make him sound like a raging liberal.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. He's, that's why if he gets in, he will
immediately.
Speaking
of dinosaurs, the thing formerly known as a moderate Republican.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. It's like these people become like the media darling and, he's the new great new hope of the Republican Party. And then the minute they get in the race, he's going to deflate like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. He's going to catch a hip on the...
Or was it the Michelin Tire Man? I can never remember.
On the Empire State Building, and he's just going
to... Just get marshmallow all over the city. I happened to watch that this
weekend.
By the
way,
his
interest is already, Christie's interest is already guarding negative reviews from Rush Limbaugh, who said he sees a lot of John McCain in him.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do.
Plus, he's fat. Have you noticed, my friend?
He seems more like 2000 John McCain than 2008 John McCain.
That's true.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Did you see, Jim, somebody emailed me and said, Chris Christie is just Rush Limbaugh in a fat suit.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right, Don in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
You know, what really gets me about this stuff with Rick Perry, it seems like all these people that are on the Republican side, they always touch on the things that are hot issues, you know. They twist words around to make themselves sound believable. They kill me, too, with all these so-called parties that they have. They use all these patriotic names, the Citizens United, Americans for Prosperity, and Tea Party.
Tea Party Patriots.
That's Frank Luntz.
Oh, yeah. They smack a duplicity to conceal what they're all about. But what really gets me, too, is American people are kind of stupid and blindsided in a way. When they start saying, you know, these are business people, and when they get in the office, if they get into power, they're going to turn this country into this government into a full business that only for themselves. And the thing is when they go ahead and they tell the people, where the play on words that is, that we're going to take big government out of your lives, what they're really saying is we're going to take your lives out of our business.
Yep. Good point. I love Chris Christie had to try to, because I know he's already hearing the echoes of it's he's too liberal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I'm meaner than Rick Perry.
I do not believe that for those people who came here illegally, that we should be subsidizing with taxpayer money. That is not a heartless position. That is a common sense position.
Okay. And Herman Cain says, call him crazy.
Okay.
All right.
Call me crazy. But some people would infuse Sharia law in our court system if we allow it. I honestly believe that. So even if he calls me crazy, I am going to make sure that they don't infuse it little by little by little. American laws and American courts, period.
You mean like the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Those are American laws?
I'm guessing he must tell Jesus about the threat of Sharia law.
Jesus.
That's what he does.
I must tell Jesus
about the threat of Sharia law.
All in my trials.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think he did start the fire, personally.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What are you basing that on? Show me the evidence. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, wow, it's amazing what stories could kill which candidates on the Republican side.
Yeah.
For Mitt Romney, it's having ever pursued any reasonable policies. it really is amazing. He governed, clearly, like, as a Democrat, really, in Massachusetts. I mean, he's just a pathetic flip-flopper.
Mm-hmm.
But the story in the New York
Times... Flip-floppers
are
people, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
That's
they are.
True.
No, they
That's
are.
True.
Yes, they are. No, they're not.
I can't decide. Oh, Mitt explaining his flip-floppiness yesterday.
In the private sector, if you don't change your view when the facts change, well, you'll get fired for being stubborn and stupid. It was Winston Churchill said, when the facts change, I change too, Matt.
Uh-oh.
He
just blew it.
Yeah, the New York Times. Guess what he did a lot of, Jim, closing corporate tax loopholes for corporations. And guess what he did? He increased a lot of revenue. He raised a lot of revenue by making
by taxing,
the top
1%
pay their fair share and also closing.
Those corporations and people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, should be taxed.
Yeah, New York Times writing, much of the business community in Massachusetts was puzzled. Mitt Romney, a Republican with high-caliber corporate credentials, had run for governor, pledging to sweep aside barriers to business and act as the state's top salesman. But just a few months after Mr. Romney took office, what he delivered was anything but friendly to the CEO crowd, a bill to financial firms for what they saw as $110 million in new corporate taxes and a promise of more to come.
Corporate taxes are people, my friend.
Woof, woof.
How could he do this to business as a business guy, said one top executive recalled, asking colleagues whose companies had to pay up after the Romney administration closed a tax loophole. It was very aggressive, and it was a surprise. For the next 3 years, the Romney administration relentlessly, I say, Jim, scoured the tax code for more loopholes, extracting hundreds of millions of corporate dollars to help close budget gaps in a state with a struggling economy. It was only after Mr. Romney, of course, was gearing up for a 2005 possible White House bid that he backed away from some of his most assertive tax enforcement proposals amid intensifying complaints from local companies and conservative anti-tax groups. Grover Norquist. Mr. Romney's campaign against the tax loopholes like no other period in career put him at odds with the values and expectations of the corporate world from which he came today in seeking the Republican presidential nomination. Romney promotes himself as the pro-business candidate who understands what companies need and how to create jobs. Today, Mr. Romney rarely, if ever, discusses on the campaign trail how he closed the Massachusetts tax loopholes. There's no proud description of them in his two books, no mention of them, in fact, really, at all. And the Times goes on to explain his support for this extended well beyond signing the law that outlawed the tax arrangements in some cases. With Mr. Romney's encouragement, they pursued several years' worth of outstanding payments from banks, reaching a major settlement. The Revenue Department found dozens of similar practices, and the Romney administration set about closing loopholes one by one. It proposed bills that could collect $120 million in new corporate taxes for 2003, $90 million, goes on and on. I mean, it just... incredible. He was the Elizabeth Warren of his day, for God's sakes. Look at that.
By the way,
the Democratic-controlled legislature, which had assumed Mr. Romney was cozy with the state's corporate executive, was both taken aback and thrilled by the onslaught. It was an onslaught.
Yes.
Honest lots are people, my friend.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of Elizabeth Warren, she's tied with Scott Brown in the latest poll.
Really? Now? Rock on, my sister.
Yes.
Not the senator fold. What?
Senator
Fold. He is Senator Fold, in fact. All right. Yeah, it's pathetic. So Mitt Romney is just, that's one other thing he has just completely flip-flopped on. And he just, that's back when he could do math, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You have to raise revenue. You have to close, at least close loopholes like that for giant corporations. But
yes, you do. No, you don't. Yes, you do.
Now he can't decide. Okay.
Which one am I? I don't know.
I don't know. All right. President Obama spoke at the Human Rights Campaign event over the weekend. He sharply rebuked his Republican rivals, saying anyone who wants to be commander-in-chief must support the entire U.S. military, including gay service members. The president.
We don't believe in the kind of smallness that says it's okay for a stage full of political leaders, one of whom could end up being the president of the United States, being silent when an American soldier is booed. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in standing silent when that happens. We don't believe in them being silent since. You want to be commander in chief? You can start by standing up for the men and women who wear the uniform of the United States, even when it's not politically convenient.
I'm Andrew Shepherd, and I am president. Come on, it had a little American president-y in there, didn't it?
Never saw it.
I hate you.
What? I was picturing throwing the mic down to the stage and walking off. Yeah.
Herman Cain was the only Republican that said he should have said something when they booed the gay soldier at the debate. He said it would have been appropriate for him to have defended the soldier. He said, though, it wasn't immediately clear to him. I love this excuse.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I happen to think they might have been booing the policy more than... Oh, please.
No. You're at a Republican debate.
Oh, please. They were clearly booing gayness.
With the base in the audience, they did not boo the policy.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Oh, dear. So the other issue that came up with at the president's speech, he stopped short, of course, of endorsing gay marriage, saying every single American deserves to be treated equally in the eyes of the law. Some of the president's backers say he could be wasting a chance to energize key segments of his base, including young people, if he doesn't come out in favor of gay marriage before the election. This kills me. One activist said if he doesn't, he could be missing an opportunity to mobilize voters who need to be inspired to vote for him. I got to tell you, there's another gay leader quoted that I happen to say I agree with. He said it's fair to say we've made more progress in the past 2 years than we have in the past 4 years combined on gay rights. And so to me, to not be inspired or activated when you could, every single one of the candidates on the Republican side pretty much is a homophobe, in my opinion. They would reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They would. I mean, it just, you can go one after another. How you cannot? I don't know.
Obama's aiming for the middle again. People who, while they are for civil unions, are still a little hinky about gay marriage.
Well, I guess. And I mean, like one of the editor of America Blog said, he might not lose votes, but he won't gain enthusiasm. Really, he's done more literally, as this guy said, in the past 4 years, we've achieved more in 2 years on gay rights, and that's not enough to inspire the gay community. I don't get it. I don't get it. He said he asked Obama, implored the crowd to stand with him. He said this is a contest of values, and to me, there has never been a starker difference, particularly on those issues, on the gay rights issues, for instance. It annoys me. But it's like, no, we're going to stay home and let, I don't know, Rick Perry become president. I mean, it's. I mean, even Mitt Romney, who said, oh, I'm going to be more pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy, when he was governor of Massachusetts, he's had to go way to the right on every issue, you know, so, all right.
As everybody needs to do when they're running for a primary.
Well, that's right.
Obama does not need to run in a primary, so he can go right for the middle.
Sarah Palin, oh, golly, is she going to, or isn't she?
Is a title and is a campaign too shackling? Does that prohibit me from being out there, out of a box, not allowing handlers to shape me?
What?
I was supposed to go on the Ed Show, by the way, on MSNBC on Thursday, presumably to talk about, you know, that.
That.
But, A, I was drunk having my little birthday party, and number two, if I have to go on TV one more time, talk about Caribou Barbie. Because you'd have to be, I've said before, you have to be too polite, right? I can't just say, she's the stupidest bitch that's ever lived, and she makes me want to pour hot coffee in my... Ed, too much, Ed? Too much? Tone it down?
Ed might let you say that.
Ed actually might.
Yeah.
He'd just give his big chortle and act like he was outraged.
I can't believe you said that.
No, stop it. 58 minutes to the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by...
Well, ScreamTeam.com is what it is.
Oh.
You want to see something really scary? For all your Halloween makeup needs, check out the Scream Team. www.ScreamTeam.com. Imagine the frightening possibilities.
Wow, Jim really went over... Above the Call of Duty on that one. Thank you, Jim. All right.
Well, hey, sounds like somebody's got a case of the moonbeams.
Hey,
it's McClurg.
That was Edie McClurg.
Blood, wastoids.
That was the horror scream brought to you by Edie McClurg.
Edie McClurg.
Did you have to scream in Carrie? Where did you patent your horror movie scream? Oh, that was evil. Well, that's an evil witch laugh. That's not... All right. Wow, Edie's creeping me out already this morning. Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Hello.
And good morning, Seattle. Thank you, Seattle, on behalf of the Sexy Liberal Team. Wow. Edie, I need two new hips. I could hear your voice in my head going, stop climbing over those amps. You're too old.
I have extras you can have.
God in heaven.
My overage.
Karen in Seattle, dear Steph, I want to thank you, Hal and John, for an amazing show. In Seattle, Saturday night, my face still hurts. Another report of face hurting from laughter.
Oh, great.
As someone who was raised not just by Republicans, but by one Republican, one member of the John Birch Society, yikes. I've spent many hours in therapy, so the Steph and Piper Palin therapy bits were like little slices of my own life. Although that's where I lay down on the stage. That's another thing I shouldn't have done, but that's a... I've got a... as Chris said, even Chevy Chase knew when to stop the pratfalls. My sexy liberal ticket stub is going on top of my treasured pile of Grateful Dead ticket stubs spanning the decades since 1974. Being a Deadhead is a lot like being a Stephanie Miller fan, a lot like being a liberal. Dead guitarist Bob Weir once called the Deadheads a club without any membership rules. Yeah, that's us. Deadheads all over the country really love hearing our music associated with the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. There was a lot of Steph heads there.
Great.
There were. It was some of them their fourth and fifth Sexy Liberal show. They followed us from
Boston.
I can't
wait for the October show down here.
Well, down here? Why? Whoa. Funny you should mention that.
Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller told you she wanted to love you in the most inappropriate ways. You showed your love right back. And now, after selling out the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in just 5 days, here she goes again.
Subtle plans are here again.
On October 21st at the Wadsworth Theater, welcome the second coming of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks' second childhood, and Stephanie Miller, who lost her Los Angeles virginity at last.
On second thought, I realize that I'm very much interested in politics.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. So drop that box of wine and get yourself up early to score your final chance to be a part of this liberal left coast love fest.
I will not make this offer again.
Los Angeles, come get your heaping helping of sexy liberal seconds. They're guaranteed not to be sloppy.
All right. And
now,
then,
I have an idea.
Hang on one sec. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, because San Francisco is up next, then Austin, Buffalo, Fort Lauderdale, Denver. Oh, Portland, Phoenix, on and on and on. They're trying to kill me, Edie.
You are going to be so tired.
All right, go ahead. What's your idea?
Well, my idea was to put two crazy women together, and I would do a Michelle Palin character for you.
Yes, this
is
Now, there's a horror film there. Oh, by the way, Roland, Sexy Liberal Tour Director, says you're not creepy due to the amp jump. You're creepy because of our 43-mile hike along the coastline. I did. I made the tour director hike up most of beautiful, spectacular.
Well,
Seattle.
It is gorgeous.
Michael writes, Staff wanted to know that my girlfriend, who I brought to the Boston Sexy Liberal Show, is going to kill me if I sing the Baby Monkey song one more time.
I love that
However,
Baby Monkey song.
She brought me a Baby Monkey coffee mug and a magnet. Now, that's love. I also have everyone at work singing the song and threatening to kill me if I sing it again. I understand it, but people love it and hate it. It always puts me in a good mood. Oh, Michael, my pleasure.
Baby Monkey!
Addictive
baby
and
monkey.
Irritating at the same time.
Riding on a pig, baby monkey. Dance I've ever seen Edie McClure. You look like, you know what? You look like those things in a car wash. You're looking like you're...
Shannon in Oakland. You're on the Stephanie
Hi.
Miller Show. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Hello.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And I'll be seeing you at the SF show, so I'm excited.
Zac Brown! Yahoo!
I wanted to just say thank you for bringing up the issue about the gay community not being inspired enough.
Or enthusiastic. I mean, if you can't be enthusiastic about the president that has made more progress on gay rights in 2 years than in the last 40, I don't know who you can be.
I know. And I've been listening, you know, I watch MSNBC because I love Lawrence and Rachel and everyone. But the professional left has been bashing him almost as much. And it makes me crazy because where's the support? He doesn't barely get any support from the liberal media, quote unquote liberal media at all.
Yeah.
But then the left has to bash him too. It's like Salon.com, you know, the whole Melissa Harris Perry thing. And, you know, Chris Hayes is going to have her on to discuss it. But when I think when you have people
Shannon,
on that are discussing
right.
him,
Shannon,
you need
we were
to ask them. Why are you not backing him more?
We were saying, as we were talking about the sexy liberal, it clearly can't be me, as I am a marginal talent and obviously just a fart show comedian.
That's
but I'm telling you, people want to feel inspired. They want to feel some hope, I think, about what's going on out there. And so, you know, Hal Sparks and Aisha and I are happy clappy, and we club John Fugelsang once in a while when he's not. But that's what I'm finding when I go on the road is people really, you know, we are winning on these issues. And, you know, people don't want to feel dispirited. If you watch the media, the campaign's over and Obama's lost already, you know?
Yeah, and it's not just coming from the Republicans. I mean, that's what makes me crazy is the Republicans, you expect it. But when the left are constantly tearing down all of his victories, I don't get it.
Right.
Who would they want to win?
Yep.
When she loses, then they're going to sit on the TV and whine again. Why are they whining now before the election?
Yeah, you are a girl after mine and Randy Rhoads' heart.
So
I love you.
You can't criticize the president for any reason.
See, Jim is the perfect example. He's Exhibit A, isn't he?
Exactly. He just tore him down for something else that you were like, well, he's going for the moderate.
Well,
but
yes,
you know
he is.
Well, yeah, but the fact that you aren't acknowledging that when you bring things up like that, it has a mental reaction on people and they get demoralized.
Well Shannon, I mean, I think, you know, Hal Sparks said on stage, Saturday night, the same thing that I say. You know, I call an Obama apologist every day. I don't think I have anything to apologize for.
Exactly.
I think he has accomplished a lot.
You don't have to apologize. No, and it's just obnoxious that you think that, you know, everyone has their right to their opinion, but when you hear it every day, all day, even have Cornel West and Tavis Smiley, Michael Moore, constantly bashing him.
So they,
who do you think,
they have a right to their opinion as long as they don't express it, is what you're saying.
They can express it after he fucking wins.
Oh, yikes.
See?
What he said is they can express it after he wins. But she was emphatic about it, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little punctuation there. By the way, Paul Krugman, one of the liberals that sometimes criticizes the president, I have to say, Jim, I love this little piece. His headline is, Where's my boner boom? Boehner. He meant Boehner boom. Said, if fear of future regulations and taxes is holding businesses back, as everyone on the right asserts, why did the Republican victory in the midterm set off a surge in employment? Yes. After all, if you really believe the fears of Obamaite socialism were the key factor depressing employment, the GOP victory with the clear possibility the party will take the Senate, maybe the White House next year, should greatly reduce those fears. So where's the hiring surge?
The job creators aren't creating jobs.
Yeah, as Mitt Romney knew when he was governor of Massachusetts. He closed the tax loopholes on corporations, raised revenue, balanced the budget, and now he has to run away from that. I was finishing up this. You know
that was
why?
Clintonian of him.
Yeah, I'm reading the New York Times piece, Jim and Edie, and I'm reading here. By 2006, Mr. Romney was traveling the country all but openly campaigning for the White House as a fiscal conservative and met with Grover Norquist. And then he changed his tune immediately. He flip-flopped immediately.
Robert
and he
Norquist
signed, and then
people,
he just signed this the no new taxes pledge. This is the guy that was like literally they called it on a you know rampage to close tax loopholes.
Robert Norquist has convinced me to drown myself in a bathtub.
Exactly.
Woof, woof.
Will it muss my hair? Mr. Norquist acknowledged he'd been deeply disappointed by Mr. Romney's corporate tax overhaul in Massachusetts. The important thing he said that his stated position is it won't happen again. Yeah, because who the hell's Robert Norquist?
Yeah.
Who elected him? I mean, unbelievable. So, because of one guy that nobody elected, now Mitt Romney has, you know.
Never happen again. I'm sorry.
So
please forgive
sorry.
Me.
Please, sir. May I have another? Thank you for the punctuation. All right. Warren Buffett, once again, as you know, according to the right, not the right kind of rich guy.
Well, it isn't to have the rich pay more taxes. It's to have the ultra-rich who are paying very low tax rates pay more taxes. Now, there's all kinds of ultra-rich who pay normal taxes. But there's a small segment that you can find them very easily who pay very low taxes, including me.
Yeah, you know what? Why he drives the right insane, Jim? Because he's so right, and he makes it so simple to understand that it's not fair that he pays less proportionally
traitor
taxes
to his
than
class.
His,
how yeah. dare he? Spoiling it for the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Good heavens.
All right, 17 minutes.
You're
off.
Not allowed to the country club ever again.
Yeah, exactly. 17 minutes after the hour, back with more Mondays with McClurg as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
McClurg is peppy this morning. You know why? Because we have a brand new sponsor. Quicken Loans is proud to be the title sponsor of the inaugural 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic College Basketball Game. Woohoo! Featuring the Michigan State University Spartans and the North Carolina Tar Heels. One lucky winner wins a flyaway trip to the Carrier Classic basketball game. Just go to stephaniemiller.com to enter. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. Just like Edie McClurg. Hello, Edie McClurg. What? Look, my goodness, look at all your notes. You have commentating notes spread out in front of you. Like
commentators. Well, it's interesting now that the social online thing.
The social media.
Facebook. Sure. Facebook now has formed a PAC, Political Action Committee, for campaign donations, and they're going to put out, what we want to have happen. All the young folks who are
The whippersnappers.
Yes, they are.
By the way, did you see this, Jim?
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger says that he spends way too much time on... I think it's a soul-sucking time sap. That's what I think. I never do it, and then after Seattle, Roland's like, oh, no, you have to go and look because the comments are great, and so then there I am. And I'm just in a soul-sucking...
Then you feel the need to wish happy birthday to everyone you've ever met in your entire life.
Right. Yeah. And then some people say something nice, and then someone says something vaguely whatever, and I'm like, what?
Well,
we're back in high school.
Now, I notice the power of this show is that every Monday after I've been on here, there is a spike in the people signing up for me.
Yeah, well, that's because of your chair dancing. That's because of Ustream.
And I, last week, got rid of my Facebook page.
Oh.
Because it was A, time suck, and
time
B,
suck.
And B, they
and you
are...
don't, there's nothing you need to do that has anything to do with anything other than me
in
this show.
Well, exactly. And B, they're infringing on people's privacies a little too much lately.
Oh, yeah.
This whole timeline thing, everybody is going to be able to see everything you've ever done, ever.
And also, I ordered him not to do or think anything that has anything other to do
That's
than the, for this show.
Yeah.
So he has no... Yeah. I'm just saying, yeah, Mick Jagger just said, he said he's a social networking addict. He said, I spend way too much time on the computer and not enough time playing the guitar. There's the underlying problem of the screen taking over all of your life. It's easy to keep in touch with people, some of whom I wish I never kept in touch with.
Yeah.
But there they are on Facebook. You can spend a lot of time when you should be doing something
else. Some bloke named Keith Richards keeps trying to contact me. I don't know what he's all about.
Wants me to keep up with him on LinkedIn.
It was,
That I don't understand.
Let Chris
LinkedIn
and I. Yes, let Chris and I put out another blanket. No, we do not want to keep up with you on LinkedIn. Please stop sending them. I don't want to keep up with anybody.
There's all these people that you've met once before who want to be in touch with you on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, it's easy for me to promote the all-girl review that I do once a month because it's not, we are all girls. And it's easy for me to just say, okay, this Friday night, la, 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 and then people show up.
Right. Yeah. So, no, it does.
That's good.
It works. That being said, it still is a soul-sucking time, so.
Yes, but you have to garner your control of yourself. You don't have to be on it every minute.
Just a little discipline. All right. We've been talking about... Jim, can you do the Tom Brokaw pronunciation of the terrorist that was just killed?
I don't know.
Al-Waki.
Al-Waki was killed by a predator-drone aerial assault.
Thank you. The president.
Al-Waki was the leader of external operations for Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. In that role, he took the lead in planning and directing efforts to murder innocent Americans.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, obviously some people are, you know, having civil liberties, you know, conversations about this. But, you know, Jim, he wasn't just saying things we don't like. I mean, what the president just said is pretty, he was actively recruiting. I mean, isn't that, Leon Panetta on the...
This country is much safer as a result of the loss of Al-Waki.
And there'll be another number two, and then another one after that.
Yeah, that number two guy is stupid, because we have killed that guy. I swear to God, I feel like every other few days I read that we've killed the Al-Qaeda number two guy. Mm-hmm. And that guy's just the stupidest guy in the world that keeps taking that job. Number two?
Can I be number three? I don't want to be number two. It's a number two job, if you know what I'm saying.
What happened to the last drummer for Spinal Tap?
Can
I tell you,
vomit.
Every theater we play in for Sexy Liberal looks like Spinal Tap. Yes. It really does. It looks like some combination of the Spinal Tap Theater and being John Malkovich. There's little doors, and you don't really know where you're going, and you just...
Malkovich.
Good night, Cleveland. Where are we? What the hell? There's tunnels and doors.
Right.
And yeah.
Seattle!
Yeah.
And then you're...
I keep having a recurring nightmare, like a laugh-in nightmare, that I keep opening the wrong door. You know, I just said, hello! Like
and suddenly you're Alan Seuss.
Yes. Do my Joanne Worley laugh.
Hello, Frisco.
Keep opening a door. The wrong door. I always have that look on my face like George W. Bush when he opened the wrong door. Just, no.
Same age as my mother. Won't get can't fool with one.
This is a headline to shock. Breaking their promise to focus on job creation, House GOP proposes flashing job training programs.
Great.
How would that help?
That'll help, yeah.
House Republicans yesterday released their draft budget proposal for labor, health, human service. In one fell swoop, revives the assault on all their favorite bugaboos, including Planned Parenthood, National Public Radio, the National Labor Relations Board, and, of course, President Obama's health care reform law. They targeted heat subsidies that prevent low-income families from freezing in the winter. And slashed education funding by $2.4 billion. The bill also eliminates the administration's Race to the Top education reform program and reduces eligibility for Pell Grants for low-income college students.
Low-income people should just die. That'll keep their grease their hands off my Chaise Lounge.
Thank you, Eric
Cantor. Just keep them cold and stupid.
Thank you. Perhaps most surprisingly for a party that claims to be focused on job creation, the GOP budget reduces funding for job training programs that give the unemployed the skills they need to find work.
To find jobs.
In an ailing
assuming
economy.
Me.
Thank you. And good night. Wrong on every issue. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we continue Mondays with Edie McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's hot for a frigid, beastly, elderly woman.
All right. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. We are in the midst of Mondays with the delightful Edie McClurg. The president, I think, has done something smart politically. You know, he's put this jobs bill out, and he's gotten, nothing. Crickets, tumbleweeds, barroom doors swinging from the Republicans. He challenged Republicans to tell him what they like and what they don't like about his proposed jobs plan.
Everything. We hate everything.
Nothing. Hate you. You're black. Okay. So they can agree on a plan to put people back to work. It's time for Congress to get its act together, pass this jobs bill so I can sign it into law. He said analysts believe the proposal will boost the economy and spur hiring. You have economists.
Which they hate.
Yes.
Republicans don't want that because it helps Obama.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. But I mean, that's the thing, is then force them to explain it. Then what is your plan? What's your, you know, some Republicans.
Our plan is to make you a one-term president. That's it. That's the whole plan.
I mean, Michelle Bachmann is running for president based on just being against everything the president is for and
whatever
having voted
is,
against everything. She's put forward not one bill, not one idea since she's been in Congress. It's just, that's what she literally campaigns on. I'm against that. I was against that.
No,
I led
no.
the charge against that.
No.
Because we
I hated that.
Days.
No.
We are in the last days. You're a Jehovah dog.
The president said some Republicans in Congress have told me they agree with certain parts of this jobs bill. If so, it's time for them to tell me what those proposals are. And if they're opposed to this jobs bill, I'd like to know exactly what they're against. That's the thing. It's just they propose no alternatives. A CNN poll, by the way, on the economy. Let's see. They asked, do you think the policies of Barack Obama and the Democrats or George Bush and the Republicans are more responsible for the country's current economic problems? Obama and the Democrats, 32%. Bush and the Republicans, 52%. 52%.
Well, we don't follow the polls unless we like the numbers. Then we do.
Yeah. And then have you ever noticed that? And then they cite them immediately.
Yes,
on the shows. Like, and they never have a good answer for when someone says, how come you're fighting for something 70X, Y, whatever percent of the American people are for? And they don't have an answer for that. Then it's just screw them. The red states, Eric. Oh, by the way, there was a where's my 60 Minutes clock? They've been counting down on the whether Sarah Palin's going to run or not. Apparently, she had said today's the first day. It's today the first day? No, it's the third day now in October.
Yeah.
Maybe we should take over Andy Rooney's
she
spot.
She said. let's see.
You ever notice that I never finish any job I start? I quit.
Mm-hmm. She had promised to make a definitive decision on whether to toss her hat in the ring by the end of September. As her last pre-October appearance on TV, Palin has been mum. Her silence led Red State's Eric Erickson to host an overnight vigil. Oh, God, it was a vigil. Vigil on his blog.
Oh, we got legion.
And as October came around, he said Palin's candidacy is a bad joke. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Just now you figured this out?
She's not sure, Edie, if it's too shackling. You know, a title of
that
sort.
Title.
Is a title and is a campaign too shackling? Does that prohibit me from being out there, out of a box, allowing handlers to shape me?
She's been handled by several people, turns out.
Oh, let's don't ask Brad. What am I repeating that rumor about Todd's snow machine business partner, Brad?
Well, and also the, you know,
the basketball player.
Oh, that's right.
Ooh.
Glenn Rice.
Mm.
She was on that like white on rice, apparently. I don't apparently, allegedly. 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 I don't really know for sure. All right. Wow. So Rick Perry, did you hear about this? He got in a little bit of trouble over the weekend. He had a hunting camp, Jim? That named N-word head.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's funny, isn't it? What?
But he said that they painted over it.
Sure.
But now the paint is kind of crackling off.
Yeah.
So you can still make out, you know,
hey, when
it
that
was
happens.
Carved in stone.
Yeah.
And then they painted over it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't they just get rid of it altogether?
Wow. By the way, I don't know if it's related news or not. Mediaite brings us, this exists. Obama fried chicken is China's newest fast food craze.
Oh, God.
I guess they assume we're that racist, so it's okay if they're. The image of President Obama as Colonel Sanders advertising a fried chicken restaurant would immediately be flagged as unacceptably racist, but it seems to be exactly what has popped up in Beijing.
It's President Sanders to you.
Yes. Obama fried chicken, complete with the president's suspenders and bow tie and the slogan, "We're so cool, aren't we?" is in the.
Wow.
And the actual KFC has used the president in Chinese commercials, too. Earlier this year in Hong Kong, an Obama lookalike was also employed to advertise Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Hmm.
Yikes. Don't you think, Jim? They just figure, well, all your Republican candidates are blatantly racist and your radio host.
Maybe it doesn't dawn on them that it's racist. It's just
because they don't have the same culture.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
There's no history of...
Right.
Yeah.
And they want to change their thin and fit of, you know, members of the community into fat tabo-lards.
Right. You know, this is, I thought, this was big news. We have our first Congress gaby. The first openly gay congressman had and his partner had a baby. We have our first congressional gaby. I don't know why someone doesn't listen to me and open Gaby Gaps, because you think, where do you buy clothes for a gaby? This is, what's his name? Jared Polis? Polis. I always say it wrong. We've had him on. We love him. Congressman from Colorado. Colorado Congressman Jared Polis and his partner Marlon announced they are now the proud parents of an infant baby boy. Wow, the right wing must have their heads exploding left and right all over the country this morning.
There's, look, it's the gaby.
I think that's very exciting. All right, kids.
Jim and his partner Marlon Perkins. No, it's a different
that's, no. Not the same.
I'll be back in the trailer with the gaby while Jim wrestles the alligator.
I'll be changing gaby diapers while... All right. Wow, this is a bad economy, kids, as you know. This is... in Hollywood, it's... Really, it's ridiculous what you have to sell your mansion for these days, Edie. It's a Candy Spelling. You'll be horrified to know. Lost big bucks.
Big house on the hill.
Yeah,
big
selling
round
her,
house.
Aaron Spelling's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Like many homeowners selling in a stubbornly depressed market, Candy Spelling did not get a rescue.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
What will she do?
Where will she go?
Right here.
I think I saw her selling oranges off the freeway this morning. It's really horrible.
And her eyes are already on the side of her head.
Yeah.
They've been pulled up so many
times.
Oh, Edie,
look at you.
Mm.
Meow. Meow. Her 14-bedroom...
Super takeover for the Geico Gecko.
Her 14-bedroom, 57,000-square-foot mansion in the Holmby Hills section was on the market for 28 months at $150 million. And here's the... She had to accept $85 million.
Oh.
Which is, you know, from the, I don't know, racing...
She'll have to live in a shack
from Britain,
now.
The 22-year-old bought that. 22, the daughter of British racing... I don't know, something. Anyway, that's the...
She could live in one wing of the mansion and no one would know she was there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and this is kind of... This story after story of the big Hollywood celebrities that had to take... In some cases, several million less than they had hoped to get, which is tragic in so many ways. All right. Wow. Speaking of rich folks, did you see that Martha Stewart's daughter wrote a book?
Mm-hmm.
Jim, this is shocking. Apparently, Martha Stewart, a bit of a bitch, a bit of a perfectionist.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do tell.
Thank you for asking. Thank you. In a scathing new tell-all, Martha Stewart's daughter, Alexis, reveals that life as the homemaker's child was far from perfect. Yeah, I don't know why.
She told this story before about 10 years ago. I guess
yeah,
nobody
but the money's
paid
run
any
out
attention.
From that.
Oh,
so.
Now
we
it's
have
in
to
France.
Tell on mom again.
Yes.
Okay.
She,
to tell more. It was tell-all. Now there's more to the tell-all.
Where's that don't compete with me one? This is what it sounds like. Martha does everything better. You can't win, said Alexis, writes of her mother.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
It seemed like I might be a little tense growing up in the Martha Stewart household. She said, if I didn't do something perfectly, I had to do it again. I grew up with a glue gun pointed at my head.
Now that's funny.
That's not how you make a macrame bird feeder. What? Martha was not interested in being kid-friendly. I love this part. I love this part. So, Mommy dearest, she used to make me wrap my own presents. She would hand me things right before Christmas to say, now wrap these, but don't look inside. Wow.
I am not one of your fans.
And then if you didn't wrap it right, but you're going to be the one opening it, so why?
She used to tell all of these stories on her TV show, whatever, with Alexis Stewart. That was a great show.
Hmm.
Yeah.
She said, my mother had a sign on all of her doors to take your shoes off. For God's sakes, my mother's dog's and on her rugs, and she's telling people to take their shoes off?
Ew.
And here's the last thing that
wear
we
wear brown
maybe...
socks, I guess.
or yellow, either way. She said, Alexa said she always peed with the door open. I remember saying, you know, I have friends over. You can't do that anymore. It's got to stop. My friend's parents don't do it. Give me a break here. I don't feel like being embarrassed. It's exhausting. I'm a kid. Stop. It's just, I don't know. It's probably like the Tom
More
Hanks scene in League
know.
Of Their Own. Probably like the Tom Hanks scene in League of Their Own. There's just it's this endless, long, all right, Mom. Though Alexis dropped these and other bombshells in the book, she insists she harbors no ill will.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact, she's probably taken the money. In fact, she even dedicated the book to Martha.
Yep. Isn't
that
lovely?
Isn't that lovely? There's a happy ending. Very sweet. I'm not sure who actually cares about this story, but it's... Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend's motorcycle got baloney while parked outside her apartment.
What's that mean?
A prankster left a blanket of baloney meat on top of her boyfriend's BMW.
It's not even a prank, really. It's just weird.
It's kind of stupid.
And wasteful.
Yeah, baloney. It's a waste of good meat. Denny Hastert is somewhere weeping in his bratwurst.
At least he didn't put bratwurst and Servalat on there.
The
I can do it out.
A neighbor said I got the impression it was some weird message like you're full of baloney. Otherwise, I
guess
somebody on Team Angelina, something. I don't know. All right. See, you probably never took a side in that, did you, Edie? I was always Team Jen, and Jim is Team I don't give a flying. I could never get him, draw him into it, but all right.
Oh, Brad? You mean Brad?
Brad
again?
And Angelina.
Oh,
yeah.
Brad,
he stirred it up again by saying whatever. He was bored when he was married to her. Whatever. Just hush.
Yes.
Hush, Mr. Moneyball.
They bought Elvira's old house.
Oh,
up in
our
hill.
Friend Elvira. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, all
and
right.
It was a lovely home.
Yes,
lovely.
That's what I'm told.
Mm.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the final moments of Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Tomorrow, Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler. And also Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com.
Yep.
All right, and we have posted the sexy liberal pictures from the Seattle shows up on...
On your Facebook page and on your Google Plus page.
For Stephanie Miller, and I'm not sure if they're up yet at sexyliberal.com and Sexy Liberal Facebook, but they will be at some point today.
Yep. And Dave wrote on your Facebook page, great, now I have to go rub one out.
All right. Listen, that's why we can't have nice things and nice pictures now. Thank you, Dave. It's very sweet. All right. We are in the midst of Mondays with Edie McClurg. Hello, Edie.
Hello.
You're wearing a Hero Dog T-shirt.
Yes. I went to the Hero Dog Awards for the American Humane Association last
year. Yay for you.
Yes. And it was just a wonderful evening of hero dogs there with their owners, things that they had gotten people out of burning buildings. And I met the gentleman who had the...
I can't read hero dog stories unless I know I'm in a period where I can't cry, where I don't have to perform in some way. I'm just like, all right, I'm going to sit here with the hero dog story.
So the blind man who was walked all the way down the 9/11 building, his dog knew something was wrong and would not let him go, kept moving him away from his desk, and he said, no. And then he said... Oh, he really knows something. So walked him down all those stairs and got him out. And it was just, was a wonderful evening and full of wonderful stories about wonderful dogs. And
the dog probably smelled the explosives that had been planted in the building.
Or something. I mean, maybe it was the first one had been hit.
Yeah.
But I'm one of the,
yeah, I'm one of those people that when I'm out of town, like when I was in Seattle this weekend, I'm only away from Max and Fred for 2 days. I'm one of those people, the psychotic people that has to kiss every dog I see. Just, somebody had a newfie on the waterfront, and I was like, blah, because I used to have one. I was like, blah, 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 blah.
I wouldn't do that to a pit bull.
Yeah. No, I just got my face right up. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and House Friend had a Pomeranian that she brought in her purse that was backstage with us. There's pictures up. There's a picture up of the Pomeranian.
I wouldn't try that with a Weimar honor.
Yes, no, it's hard to bring Max and Fred in my purse. I don't have that big a purse. That would be a little much.
You could ride them like a team of
doggies. Should. I should have them bring me on stage in a chariot on the L.A. show.
Oh, two big white dogs.
I should feel like Yukon Cornelius. Mush! I said mush! Bring them on stage. And then I'm going to have Chris and Jim just shirtless carry me out like in Madeline Kahn.
No, not me.
On a stretcher.
No, Chris
would you all please step on the same foot at the same time? My I'm falling off. Hey, that's a good idea. Then I'll stop being so broken down after these sexy liberal shows. I need someone to carry me on stage and off.
A sedan chair.
I need a stretcher now, for God's sakes. All right.
Stretcher? Why, I never even touched her.
For guidance. Really? All right. She's in a state today, Edie Clerg is. Now, we were talking about all the flip-flops. They call him Flipper, you know, Mitt Romney. Of all his
faster
flip-flops.
Faster than lightning.
This
dolphins
even...
are people, my friend.
Yeah. They call him Flipper. It really is incredible.
You do the best porpoise. I've seen in a long time.
The kids love it.
Faster than he.
I haven't done that on stage yet. I should bring back Double Kitty, shouldn't I?
Yes.
It's creepy. Okay. Anyway, no, but there was a story in the New York Times. I was saying where when he was in Massachusetts, he was on a campaign to close tax loopholes and make corporations pay their fair share. And he's, of course, completely flipped on that. And now, by looking here, Romney's raised millions from Wall Street bankers, more than twice as much as President Obama, because now he's, you know, been attacking Dodd-Frank financial reform. He wants to keep all those corporate loopholes wide open. Unbelievable.
Corporate
the only good things he's ever done, he's got to run away from to get the Republican nomination, including, health care, which, well, Romney care.
It all began on a lonely road in Massachusetts.
Oh, darn.
What is it, Mitt?
We've run out of gas.
Really?
Yes, come here.
Mitt, we let the dogs out.
Woof, woof.
Wait, let me change the station.
Radio stations are people, my friend.
Take a look at what Mitt did.
What's
from the
this?
Standpoint of Romney care.
No.
Romney care.
No.
Romney care.
Not
Romney
again.
Care,
no.
Mitt.
Care,
no.
It was the thing
Romney
that
care,
wouldn't die.
Romney care,
Let's
Romney
get
care,
out of here.
Romney
Run
care,
away.
Romney care.
Oh, Mitt.
Doc, we got here as fast as we could, my friend.
Ow.
Is her ankle broken?
No, it's just a couple of bruises. Good thing she's covered with Romney care.
No.
Romney care.
No.
Romney care.
No, not again.
The thing that wouldn't die.
Showing this week at the Republic Twin Drive-In. On screen two, it's Mrs. Buckfire.
Hello, my little barbarians. You need a little discipline.
Come to the Republic Twin Drive-In, where everyone is welcome, technically.
Mike and Raleigh. Thank you, sir. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't... I don't know how much further to the right they can possibly go, Edie, on the Republican side. I love this. I just love this. So, Republican leadership faces possible Tea Party revolt in 2012. Oh, this is going to make the boner cry, like everything does. A Tea Party activist announced he's going to mount a primary challenge against boner.
Oh, no. Oh, God. It's worse than listening to Tavern.
Everybody knows the debt ceiling deal was a completely fraudulent deal, he said, the leader of the Tea Party Patriots. We were told that if we passed this deal, we wouldn't be downgraded, but we still got downgraded. Oh, they're admitting it's a Tea Party downgrade. Well, bully.
Wow.
I've taken a number of negotiation classes. I've been a business attorney for a long time, so I know a bit about negotiating. The Republican leadership comes to the table and says, we give up. He thinks boner caved on the... Yeah. I just don't understand that as a negotiating strategy. So, yay, they're going to primary the boner. that seriously will make him cry. Anything makes him cry. I think men should only cry when something heavy falls on them. That's just
like
me.
A tavern.
Like a tavern. If a tavern falls on you, then it's okay. Otherwise, I don't. All right. And then elsewhere in right-wing world, as I mentioned, the president's gotten more done on gay rights in 2 years than in the last 40. On the right, the Washington Times compared President Obama to Rodney King. Oh, that's not at all racial. Complaining that he does not speak on behalf of the United States and claimed Obama turned the military into the largest homosexual sensitivity training unit in history. Whatever. Edie McClurg, delightful as always. I can feel your Facebook page just exploding practically. Well, with your appearance on the big show, I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow for Tuesdays with Tyler on The Stephanie Miller Show.